Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Michael Van Tol Show live in Detroit Sunday morning. Great to be here with you. The Sunday morning team is here. Let's go down the list from the police and International Police and Fire Chaplains Association, that famous chaplain, Stephen Cathy. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Oh, bless your heart, man. Bless your heart. Them accolades you give, Lord have mercy.
Look, hey,
Thank you.
I'm just telling it like it is. And that great author, speaker, podcaster, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team. Good morning, Chaplain. And good morning,
good
Detroit,
morning.
On this cold, snowy morning.
Yes, and as the team gets in, we will introduce you as they get on board this morning. I'm here in the studio in Southfield, there's a light frosting out here a week before Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. And I hope that you all have some great plans and have a great time this holiday season. I'm really looking forward to this holiday season. It is my favorite time of the year, starting with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then my birthday comes up the first week of January. So it's just that one big celebration from Thanksgiving on up. Of course, we're going to have news, weather, and commentary with the Sunday morning team. Thanks to all of you who are listening online, and then also you can call in and listen to at 563-999-3557. Our community advocate, home care advocate, political analyst, Henrietta Ivey. Good morning, Henrietta, part of the Sunday morning team.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to the amazing Sunday morning team. And good morning to everyone in Detroit.
Yes.
We're good morning.
And, you know, I wanted to talk about this right off the bat, and I think this morning it's going to be more of an unscripted type of thing. I did want to say something about Stephen Twitch Boss, the DJ from the Ellen DeGeneres Show. It's unfortunate of his suicide, and when I first heard it, he was only 40 years old, and when I heard it, it just sounded so familiar of a successful young black man at seemingly at the top of his game, and I tell people that. You know, there are a lot of challenges to young black men. And, and everybody wants to, look on the news every night at 11 o'clock, and they always talk about, why did this guy do that? Why did he do this? The things are stacked against us the moment we wake up in the morning. You could do everything right. And the people will decline your loan app. They will not allow you in. They will throw out your application. I mean, all those things kind of happen. You get out your car and walk down the street in Birmingham, and and people start locking their car doors. You can hear it. You can hear them locking their car doors as you walk past. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But I don't think you can tell. And one of these days I'm gonna have a therapist on very soon. I've already spoken to her and we've talked about her coming on, and I think I'm gonna go ahead and do that and have her come on, because I don't think you can see signs. I don't think anybody saw anything wrong with DJ Twitch, the dancer Twitch. I don't think anybody saw anything wrong with him. And, you know, people hide these things now. You know, they always say, there are signs, you should have seen the signs. I don't think anybody around him, maybe his wife and the three kids that he left, but I don't think anybody saw the signs. I don't think I could see signs myself. Let me join in a couple of the Sunday morning team. Prophetess, evangelist, songstress, Christy Laster. Good morning, evangelist. She's on, and she gets ready there. Minister Smith, good morning, sir. Minister Randall Smith is on the line this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Just fine. Looks like the whole team is here this morning. Evangelist Christy Laster Andrews is also, she was just trying to get on. Something happened and she dropped off, and she'll get back on. I don't think sometimes we could see the signs, and it's always shocking. And I just wanted to make sure that I don't know if any of you wanted to make a comment about the dancer, DJ, Twitch boss.
Well, you know what, Michael?
I wanted to add. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was wanting to say.
Go ahead. No, you had to go ahead.
You know, when you, it's one of those things when we talk about mental health. And we can see a lot of the out loud mental health, a lot of the exposure of people when they clearly are in a crisis. But what about mental health in the silent realm, when people are dealing and not exposing those issues, and something like this happened? I feel like, you know, with DJ Twitch, I think a lot of it could have just been the overexertion of pressure to be who he is, and we don't know what could have happened in that moment, what could have happened in that week leading up to him, feel like he was no longer needed. Because a lot of times, like you said, Michael, people don't talk about what they go through, particularly African-American and or Black people. We are introduced to being the strong and the less vulnerable, the less needed of any services. We are deemed to be the race that can carry it all, do it all. And when we do try to speak upon what we're going through, or what may be bothering us, or what may be weakening us, is deemed as a, you know, really, or wow, or that's impossible because you guys are so strong and you're so this and you're so that. And as Black men, whatever he was facing that day, we don't know what triggers him in that moment to feel like it would be best for him to exit this world. So I feel like a lot of times when it comes to our mental health, we are not really looked upon as those who need it. And when we do need it, we're faced with ridicule or a bullet. And that's frightening to me, because we can't expose ourselves to being weak or hurting, because the world look at that as, you know, it's not true to them. Like, everybody else can be vulnerable, and every other culture can be vulnerable and get the help they need when that vulnerability happens. But when it happens to us, it's like, you know, because we're deemed as so super strong, like we don't need anything. And so I think a lot of it could be when it comes to a person like DJ Twitch wanting to exit this world, it could be that he just didn't want people to know he was hurting, because he had an image that he had to uphold. And he was, something made him feel like, I'd rather exit than be exposed of what I'm dealing with. And that's very tragic in itself as well.
Right. Kimberly?
So I absolutely agree with everything that Henrietta just said. I also wanted to go back to something you said, Michael. You said, you know, from the moment that you wake up in the morning, there are all these things against you. Well, let's be honest. From the time that we're born, there are so many things against you. Little black children, and this is as a whole, and I know we're talking about black men, and I'm going to segue back to that. But little black children are judged and viewed differently than anybody else. And you just said this, Henrietta. Little black boys have been taught and have had to be taught, and Michael, you can verify this because you are the father of a black son. If you're in a predominantly white area, just as you said, when you get out of your car in Royal Oak and you're walking past other people's cars, they're locking their doors, you have to teach your son how to behave and how to carry himself where he can still hold his head up high but yet not be a threat to everybody around him because people are going to look at him simply because of the color of their skin. Now, for Twitch, I'm going to be very honest. I'd never watched the Ellen DeGeneres show, so I didn't know who he was. I never saw him on there. And I'm sorry. I saw the clip afterwards, and I saw all the joy that people had, and so I understood the sadness. But with that position, as Henrietta said, and as you said, Michael, there are responsibilities. There probably were these preconceived notions. Because he is black, he's a male, he's strong, he can carry it, he's popular. He had to do certain things to continue to stay there, and he probably didn't have the support that he needed to just release it and just deal with whatever he was dealing with. I don't even think his wife understood, because I've heard a couple of interviews from her. She said she had no clue. He was happy, and she thought everything was fine. And so sometimes when people are hurting, for whatever reason, we don't even feel that we can go to the people that are closest to us. And so I unfortunately chose what a lot of people will say, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. We don't know what his problem is, and that's unfortunate because this could be something that could have addressed how other black men deal with certain things in life. But it is unfortunate that we learn of these things and then afterwards talk about the greatness of who this person was. Because to see him dance, to see him dance with the people that he danced with on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and just to see the absolute joy that he had in doing what he did, it is a loss for all of us. And so I am very saddened. I hope that his example can serve as instruction for other people as to what not to do to get help, because his children and his wife are irrevocably changed for the rest of their lives. And we hope that I'm assuming he has sons, that they don't get to a point in their lives where they are so down and they feel that they need to do the same thing.
Yes, yes. Let me introduce evangelist, prophetess, songstress, minister, Christy Laster Andrews. Good morning, evangelist.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our beautiful Sunday morning team. And good morning to everyone that is listening. I'll just say that I agree with everything that has been said thus far. Where is our safe place for our black men to be able to express when they have issues, when they have concerns, when the pressure is too great? We need to create more safe spaces for our men. We absolutely do. I am very saddened by his permanent solution decision, and I have family members that are very close to him, that were very close to him and his family, so it is very sad. And I think one of the things we need to pay attention to now is when things occur like this, unfortunately, you have individuals that will copy that may not even be connected to the family at all. So we have to really be careful about how we talk about how he lost his life, so that we won't put people in such a mind space where they'll copy, because that has happened in the past. So we have to be cognizant of that.
Yes, I did a podcast with Carmen Friday, and our topic was happiness. And, you know, and I know we're going to go spiritual on this pretty soon, because that's what the show is all about. We take what happens, and then we shine a light on it in a spiritual, biblical terms. And that, I believe, is my mission going forward into the new year. Like I said before, yeah, we're going to talk about things that happen, but at some point we're going to switch it up. And there's a greater responsibility that we have. Those of us who have the ability and the resources to reach people, like all of us do here on the Sunday Morning Team, we have a greater mission. And I was listening to former Mayor Dennis Archer yesterday. He was at a function, and he said, he broke it down. He spoke for about 45 minutes at the Wayne County Commission Youth Council meeting at the DIA yesterday, and he told us his life story, and this was an event sponsored by Commissioner McCormick. He said, towards the end, he said, basically, it's like if we're walking down the street and there's a hole in the street, some people keep on walking and somebody steps in the hole and they look back and they try to, and they don't do anything about it. And that person is lost. It's gone. But if we know that there's a hole coming up, warn the person behind you and let them know there's something wrong. Move around, go the other way, go around it, do something about it. And he said that you can translate that to people and what we, the way we live each day. If we know something, help the person behind us, help somebody, and let them know. And that's what this program is about. That's what we do when we have a chance to get in front of a group of people. And I'm not trying to preach or anything like this, but we have to let them know there's a better way, you know. And so this is. The way we should live, to warn people, to let people know, you know, I always use the analogy about driving down a road, and we get signs and warnings all the time that the bridge is out ahead. But some people are so busy, confused, and doing so many other things, they don't pay attention to the signs, they don't take them seriously. Guess what? They go over the cliff and into the water. But if you know that the bridge is out, let people know. Stop your car, get out, wave people off, and you know, we have a responsibility, and that's what I'm saying. We have a responsibility. So notice something with somebody, you know. Let them know and make a difference. I sent a message to Latoya Bond. As you know, she's an advocate fighting those who are depressed and having thoughts of suicide. And I told her, I said, what about people like DJ Twitch Boss? And she said that, and we all know this, we know that, she said that human beings are great deceivers. And aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the weaknesses of a human being. Human beings mm-hmm. lie, steal, cheat, and all that stuff. It's just mm-hmm. amazing how and I know some evangelist Christy Lass is just waiting to jump in to join this conversation and say something. But it's just like human nature, if given the opportunity, won't we steal and cheat and lie and all that kind of stuff? But mm-hmm. most people seem very happy, she says, to the very end. And it's because they've made a decision to die already, and they're at peace with their decision. That's what she said. And I believe that. I believe that. I didn't mm-hmm. think of it that way. Mm-hmm. But the reason why they don't seem like they're worried about anything is because they're not. They already decided mm-hmm. what they're going to do. Come on, somebody. Go ahead.
Right. You're absolutely right. That is the biggest thing, too. It's a deception part of silent mental illness. And I use the word silent mental illness again because we don't know what's going on, right? Because of the fact that a person can be happy all the time. They can be doing and functioning normally all the time, but they're battling, and people can't see that battle when it's not talked about. When we talk about mental illness on the level of people out, you know, they get out line dressed, or they get loud, or they're exhibiting some sign that something is going on, we can reach those. Those are the ones that we can reach, the ones that exhibit the problem. The part, again, I would like to know the statistic numbers, and there probably isn't any, on people who are battling silently, because that silent battle is what leads to suicide, I believe. When we think a person has everything that in the world together, or we look at it from our own lenses and we see that they're happy, they got all these career moves, they got all these, you know, money and status and material things, how could they be upset about anything? But we don't know the struggles and the fear that they are facing every day to keep those things. Just a little bit I've been trying to fight to keep. Let me tell you, that is a struggle mentally and a fear that I don't talk about. It is hard trying to maintain a certain image, and then you're struggling with other things or losses that may be coming about, and nobody knows about it because people don't expect for you, those who have it together, to have a problem until something happens. And they go, oh, my God. What happened? We thought he or she was doing well. They seem to be da 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 da. But because we have that put upon us, people like Twitch, people like, you know, a lot of the celebrities, they struggle with those images and trying to come in front of those cameras and get everybody everything they want. And so it's just like LaToya said, we don't see the struggle. They are, you know, people who are really struggling are very deceptive about hiding it. And when that setup point hits, they're okay with exiting this world because they're tired. They're tired of doing it. Now, we don't know how some people get into what they get into, if it was a desire for them to be in those positions, or if they were indoctrinated to do it, or they did it because at that time they had to, but it wasn't something they really wanted to do, but they didn't expect for it to take off the way that it did, and it does. That's a struggle. Like, wow, I didn't expect for it to go this way. Now I got to pretend like I like it when I really probably don't, but
right.
I'm going to keep
that's...
up this image because it's going to give me money and status and this and that and third. But when
right.
I go home and the lights are on and all the cheers stop and the curtains are closed, I'm struggling with if this is what I really want to do. But if
right.
I stop, people are going to say this, this, and it builds up.
Right.
And they can't go talk to anybody about it. So
the one thing they can't do is run from themselves after they're out doing whatever they do, whether they're an actress, a business owner, you know, whether they own hundreds of stores around the world, like Kate Spade, or they're an actor or an actress or a rock star. After all the noise after they get off stage, after they when they go home, it's their them. They have to deal with their mind. You can't run from that. And some people spend a lot of time. That's why it's so important to. Excuse me. That's why it's so important to find happiness in things other than money or material things. You have to find happiness with something simple. Like, I like the holidays because I like Christmas music. I like Christmas carols. I like Christmas songs. I like eating dinners with the whole family, the extended family. You know, if you go shopping, don't go and buy up and spend all your money and buy up half the stuff in the store. Don't go splurging. Go and buy one or two things, but don't make it material things. I like some. Let me tell you two things that I like. That's very simple. That makes me happy. And one of them is, I like getting up in the spring, in the morning, and I like going out. Just, you know, after we get through a cold, brutal winter, I like getting up, going out, getting some coffee, and checking my text message in the car, opening up my sunroof, drinking coffee, checking my text messages and emails at McDonald's or in the parking lot or in front of my house or something like that. Because that's happiness to me. You've got to make it simple. I like being on when I go on vacation. I like being on the beach. I like, if I go somewhere for 7 days, at least 2 days I want to be on the beach. You gotta make it simple. They said that there were two things that might have gotten him upset, that he was one of the people that invested in the Bitcoin company that failed. They said that he had some investments in there, and of course the Ellen show had ended, and that those two things might have, and he did not know what his life would be like. You know, I guess he was worried about failure. But he did check into a motel. And he did shoot himself. He did leave a suicide note too. As we said, he was 40 years old. Those are just a couple of pieces of information. According to the LA Times, he did leave a note, and it was confirmed that it was suicide, according to the LA County coroner. It's just unfortunate, but I just thought that. I think the key thing is, we know that material things and money and power and all this stuff does not bring you true happiness, because we keep hearing about people who have reached the top and still taking their life because they're unhappy. But I wanted to bring that up first and talk about that. It's just, you know, we're still dealing with these things, and we have to talk about it. And I think sometimes, even when I don't mind somebody asking me, Mike, how are you doing? Everything okay? You know, I think we need to do that with everybody now. I think we need to do that with everybody. Just don't assume that everything is perfect when it looks like it's perfect. Because people, like LaToya said, human beings are great deceivers. All you have to do, if you don't believe it, just start to get to know somebody that you don't know now, and watch that you might have been, you know of them, but you didn't really know them personally. But once you get to know them personally, you will begin to see there's a lot of things in their life that they don't want anybody to know about. That's just human nature. I noticed that the turmoil at Channel 4 is still going on because I don't know if you guys know that now Jason Carr from Channel 4 was let go last week. And he was complaining about another coworker. So I figured it out a long time ago. There's complete chaos over at Channel 4. And they never, it's unfortunate that the leadership at Channel 4 doesn't just come out and say, you know what, we're having issues, we're trying to rebuild, and then open it up and let a dialogue or a conversation with Metro Detroit, those of us who watch, we see what's going on, you know. So the turmoil, the chaos over there continues now with Jason Carr, and the reason he was let go is because live on the air, he was complaining about a coworker at the station. So we know that there are issues at Channel 4, but I don't think they're not handling things right. Channel 4 never used to have this kind of drama. It was
Not the Connor Howland days.
Yeah,
they sure didn't.
On Channel 7 Channel 7 was the one that normally had the drama, not Channel 4.
Exactly.
You know, Jason Carr was just let go, and I didn't know he was married to Taryn Asher at Fox 2. So, they are insiders. Okay, when we come back, let's get the weather, and then I just want to go around the round table and hear from the Sunday morning team. We'll be right back after this message. You're listening to the Michael Van Tool Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for those of you who are listening on the phone and those of you who are listening online. We'll be right back after this message.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
It's a member of the Brill team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style. Got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
All right, we're back. Thanks for waking up with us on a Sunday morning. The Sunday morning team is here. Kimberly, what's the weather like? I'm looking out the window right now. I see some snowflakes on the ground, so it's a little chilly this morning, I can tell.
It is. It is. Good morning. It's 27 degrees. As you said, there were a few snowflakes over the course of the evening. And so many of us woke up to see snow on the ground. Today, more flurries are possible. Not much more accumulation is expected. We should get to a high of 33 degrees today with a low of 25. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 25. On Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 21. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 32 and a low of 23. On Thursday, a wintry mix is likely with a high of 34 and a low of 14. On Friday, snowy and windy with a high of 22 and a low of 12. And Christmas Eve on Saturday, snow showers with a high of 18 and a low of 7. There is a winter storm that is headed this way just in time for the holiday travel season and Christmas. So be on the lookout for that. There could be some serious accumulation with that.
So it will be a white Christmas then.
Yes, it will be a white Christmas.
We can't have a black Christmas.
Well, winter is.
I don't have my hand up. I can put my foot up. But I mean, nobody seems to see me.
Your prayers have been answered, Chaplain, and you're first up. You might as well go right ahead. What do you got for us this morning? Bring it.
Well, shout out to the team. I want to go back to the suicide because it seemed like y'all left me along the way there. It's almost like my name didn't get called at Rome. So let me say this. To be suicidal does not mean that you want to die or that you actually tried to kill yourself. It's the thought of you wanting to die. If we need to figure or ask God, not figure, but go to God and ask God, God, how can I get into the mind of someone that feel like they want to die? If you ask yourself, I've talked to folk who have been suicidal. They have those thoughts. And one of the things that they say, have said to me, is that one person tried to kill himself, and he said, man, I was so happy I could get that noose from around my neck. So are you saying to someone, hey, I want to die? I think it's the act of what they've actually done that they cannot change. But if they have an opportunity to actually change their mind during the course of that thing, I'm for certain that they would. Why? Because I have talked to so many people that's been suicidal, and they think about it, you know, I want to die. It's a moment. They think about it at that very moment. I don't necessarily feel like it's a compoundment of a lot of other things, because when you say that I'm going to pull a gun out and shoot myself, you can't change that. You can't change the outcome of that when you put a gun to your head and pull the trigger. You can't change the outcome of it once you are dangling from a noose and your airway is cut off and you're struggling to get this thing from around your neck that's making you feel a way that you really don't want to feel and really don't want to feel like that. So if we can figure out or, again, ask God to help us understand somebody that's feeling, because if you can change the way they're thinking, you can then get in there and help them with their feelings, and then their actions would be totally different. I think the approach, I believe that suicide, to be suicidal now, you can look at it as an addiction. It's almost like it's not an addiction that people wake up and say, you know what, I just want to try this thing. But it's a mental, it becomes to me a mental addiction that people resort only to this when they're feeling a certain type of way at a certain time for a particular reason. So I just think that it is important for us to ask God to help us understand what is it about an individual who decided to go and pick up the gun and say, pow? Or somebody decides that I'm going to jump off this bridge. What is it? What can we do? What could be implemented? What could be put in place? What could be a safeguard? What could be an effective deterrent for those particular thoughts? What would be? I said it a long time ago. We need to do some checkup checks. We need to just start calling. We need to start, people need to start telling us, you know what, you're calling me too much. That's what needs to happen. We need to do a lot of well-being checks. We need to start taking folks places. And that then makes them comfortable enough to be able to open up and say what really is that may be going on in their life. I didn't get much help on here today, but it's all right because I know y'all
are listening. We're listening. We're listening to you. We're listening. Yeah, you listen. We're listening to you, man. We're listening.
So in closing,
Chaplain.
Yes.
I want to give you John 14:27. Go ahead with it and end it.
You know what? Did you see something else? Can you just mute? Can you mute her part, man? Because here she go. Listen, let me tell you something.
Wow.
She gonna put you up. She gonna put you to work. She gonna put you to work. And that's what I love about this team. That's what I love about this team, man. They will put you to work. So let me say this here. Let me go here, sis. Greater is he that is in you than he that is of this world.
That's right.
If you got something that's greater in you, guess what? That makes you great. I wish I had some help on here now.
Yeah,
come on, somebody,
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
That makes you great. See, we have to tap into that greater in us so that we can realize just how great we are. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. But because that scripture is there, it becomes meaningless if we don't stand on it.
Amen.
If we don't embrace it. If we don't say, yes, this is how I'm living. Marriages last long because they stand on the vows. They stand on the commitment. They stand on the unity. You got to stand on the word of God, not just read it, not just know it, not just memorize it, not just make it sound good. God wants your solid prayers. He don't want them long ones. He don't want them long ones. God wants your solid, truthful, earnest prayers. You ain't got to go to him for 12 hours. Go to him earnest and sincere and humble yourself like a baby. But the suicide thing, we have to get into these thoughts. When you get into the thought, you will change the feeling, and you will affect the feeling, and therefore the actions will be different based on the thought and how you felt. I wish I had a small more piece of help on here.
The enemy will get you with your mind. Yep, the enemy protects your mind. Yes, yes. Evangelist Christy Laster.
Good morning again. The enemy does play tricks on your mind. That's why there's so many scriptures talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I just had a quick thought this morning, and I'm going to make an attempt to tie it into our subject that we have been discussing about the DJ. So we all know it's the holiday season, so we all think about Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and this time that we reserve to celebrate his birth. I was thinking about Mary this morning, and I'm a mom of four. I have a 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 13, and a 10-year-old. But I was thinking about Mary this morning when the angel of the Lord appeared to her and she discovered that she was with child and she knew not a man. That there alone is enough to send a person it's just some type of depression and not
right.
want to be on
right.
the earth, not want to live.
How
like,
did
what?
This happen?
How
right.
do I explain this? How do I explain this to my fiance? And then once my mm-hmm. fiance knew, he's like, how do I explain this to the world? I'm just paraphrasing if it's okay.
Right.
But that's enough to send you into a whirlwind of thoughts, suicide, ideation. But the angel of the Lord assured her that all would be well. And her response was, be it unto me. He told her that she was blessed among women. Blessed art thou among women. She had favor. And she said, be it unto me. And then she made haste and gave God praise. She went to Judah. And then she connected with Elizabeth. So we've been talking about connecting with people that could discern,
mm-hmm.
that could notice changes
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
you. So Elizabeth's baby immediately leaped in her when she connected with Mary. So God will connect you to people that will pay attention, that will have something in them that will cause them to know what's going on within you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have to make sure that we are connected with the right people in our lives, because we're all going to go through changes. Some of those changes are challenging. Some of those changes is the perfect change and you have been waiting on it. But life
mm-hmm.
is in fact like a roller coaster. But as
yeah.
the story with Mary, mm-hmm. the angel of the Lord appeared to her to give her the peace that she needed. And then he connected her with the right people to help her through her journey. And then he helped Joseph to understand, to keep and cover her. So it's all about the connections and people that can understand what you're going through. Even if they don't understand, they'll be with you every step of the way, because we all
mm-hmm.
have to get to that place where we give birth to what God has placed on the inside of us, because it's going to impact more than you know. So be
mm-hmm.
ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and trust the process, even when it's challenging. Go connect up
mm-hmm.
with an Elizabeth, even when you don't understand. Find you a Joseph that'll stick by your side and help you through your challenging process.
You know, some of the messages
that was my
people, some of the messages that people get in their mind, I just feel so sorry for some people. I think somebody, if somebody's got their radio, just turn the volume down, because I can hear the back feedback from it. But some of the messages in our minds, the enemy attacks us and they're relentless and it's constant, no relief. And I think sometimes there's nowhere where they can go to get relief from some of the messages. The enemy attacks their mind. And
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. If we knew the answer, we'd be able to help all the people that are facing these issues. But how
mm-hmm.
do you turn off messages that pop up in your mind?
Right.
You know,
it's personal. It's personal.
The only way there has to be a greater spiritual challenge to what
mm-hmm.
is going on. It has to be confronted. There's those stories in the Bible where Jesus approached or was confronted with somebody that had all those dangerous and destructive thoughts. And I just remember reading how...
Hold on, there you go, y'all.
The demons and the enemy were afraid and terrified.
Mm-hmm.
So we know one one way that...
Mm-hmm.
that those messages and those that influence can be driven out, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, aside from Jesus being here, like we read in the Bible, that's one way that we can challenges. I know it's not that simple, because if it was, I'm sure that ministers and preachers and pastors and bishops and evangelists would be in our mental institutions now praying for and talking to some of the people that are facing these things. So it's not that simple. But we do know that there is a way, you know, but don't forget, you know, Jesus was, he had to deal with it too. Wasn't he out in the wilderness?
That was scripture. That was scripture for Jesus. So and if I may say this though, Mike, what we read about Jesus in the Bible is with scripture, so he never was going to fail. Jesus was never going to, I wish I had another piece of help on here.
Mm-hmm.
See, what we must
help.
Understand, the scripture is the scripture, and it turned out the way that it did. The Bible is believers' information before leaving this earth. So Jesus was never going to fail. Everything in the Bible that turned out the way that it did turned out for a particular purpose, at a particular time, and for a particular reason. But it's mm-hmm. up to us to tap into that one resource that got Jesus to be able to complete his journey. Somebody ought to shout right there. There was a
Amen.
Journey and a purpose. So that's what we have in our life. That's why the Bible declares that we are to be Christ-like. We are to fashion mm-hmm. and purpose ourselves after the likeness of what he did. You see what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Nobody said that this thing was going to be easy. But we mm-hmm. have to understand that it's not easy because of what happened in the garden. When Adam and Eve bit that apple, it was over. So this thing is not going to be easy for us no more. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. So when we tapping in, when we everybody that go out and decide that they say, I'm going to go ahead and kill myself now. I'm going to go ahead and end my life right now. They know about somebody else who did that thing. So the people that did that have tried to do that thing, that has been in that thing, those are the ones that's going to help them through that thing. Those are the ones. Those individuals who walk that walk, talk that talk, bent down that road, those are the ones that need to stand up and say, look here, 20 years ago, I tried to kill myself and lost my leg. You see what I'm saying? First of all, you're not going to be able to get me, or I can't call neither one of y'all and say, let's go into a dark, abandoned building. You're going to be like, man, what are we going in there for? So let the truth be told. How are you going to convince yourself to kill yourself when you don't even know for certain where you're going? You don't know
what's in
that. You have no idea. You have no idea, because if you believe in God, you wouldn't even allow those thoughts to lay dormant in your mind.
But you know,
so you have no
chaplain,
idea where you're going.
Chaplain, and the enemy tries to get you at your weakest moment too. When things when things go wrong, here he comes. He starts talking to you because he knows you just lost your job. Your car's not running. You just had an argument with your spouse. You know, you got wrote up at work. You see, that's when he comes
And let
in,
me add this.
You know,
but let me add this part to you, though, Mike. And I won't see, because I'm a keep it real type of preacher. Let me add this too. So you decide that you're gonna kill yourself because you think it's gonna leak out what you've been doing in private. You see, we don't want to stop there. So you decide that people decide that they want to kill themselves because they don't want the truth to be exposed about some of the things that we were doing. There's two sides to this thing. So that's why you got to get in the middle of it. You got to get in the middle of it and be able to grab hold to both sides. Where this person could have been a major child molester and thought that it was finna get out. So this person decided it was going to kill himself. Or this person over here robbed banks and decided, hey, I'm going to go out of suicide by cop. So there's a lot of other factors that we don't speak on that causes the individuals to feel like, you know what, this it right here. I lost my wife. I'm going to go ahead and end my life. I lost my husband. I'm going to go ahead. But you never think about the things that we do that gets us to where we're at. I wish I had a piece of help on here.
You know, you're right about that, Chaplain, because how many times do we hear of men committing suicide after a breakup? After they break up with a girlfriend or a spouse, or if she goes and she meets somebody else, all of a sudden, it's because he put everything in his whole life ahead of he put her and made her an object that he could not even tolerate. That's too
absolutely
much. You know, I remember when I first bought my last car or the car before that, and I had to catch myself because I would get up early in the morning and get out there and start washing and waxing my car. And then the next day I would be vacuuming it out. And the next day I was putting stuff on the tire dressing. It's amazing. And I said, wait a minute. And then I would wash the car, and it's 30 degrees out there, and I'm washing the car, and it's freezing. The water is freezing on the car, but I had to check myself, like, okay, this is a little bit, this car is too important to me right now. And you have to catch yourself sometimes. I know ain't nobody going to admit to, you know, putting that much focus on something, but I am. But you know what? You know, I think, and I might be mistaken, but I think it in Matthew somewhere, you know, Jesus was, you know, the devil came to him and told him too, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, you know, the devil took him up to a holy city.
You think that's where it's at. I'm so smart. You know what? I'm about outnumbered. This preacher thinks that's where it's at. He got the right scripture, the right chapter, the right verse, but he thinks that's where it's at.
Uh-huh.
And we're gonna stay right there.
And I think it's in verse 6, it says the devil says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because then the devil started explaining stuff. This was so insulting. The devil said, it's written that he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Listen to that. So he knows the scripture. He was quoting
the scripture.
Yes,
the
enemy knows
better than some of us.
You know
what?
Yes,
it is.
That's a lot of nerve to tell Jesus, ain't it written? You see the arrogance and the insulting nature of him? So if he would say that to Jesus, what is he going to say to us? Oh, he would straight up lie.
He does. He does say it to us, Mike. Mike, he does say it to us. When we come up and somebody say, well, your friend did it, so why don't you do it? Your sister used to do it. We got to know the language now.
That's
your homeboy did it. So why your girlfriend did it? Why don't you do it? You see what I'm saying? So this is a deceptive intelligence that we have taken to bear with us, that we use to rationalize our disobedience to God, and we make it seem fair seeming and acceptable. But these things are not, these thoughts are not of God. These are not, the challenges. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That brother, God bless his soul, that brother had challenges. And it behooves us to understand that in our mother's wombs, we had no legs, no eyes, no feet. We had no nothing. We were even in triple darkness, but yet we made it out of 40 million that was coming with us.
Right.
40 million other little bitty sperm cells. I'm sorry to be so graphic. It's coming right behind us. But yet we made it here.
Yeah.
We made it.
Look, I'm glad
and
I made it.
And now that we have gotten here, we act like we can't get nothing done. When God said, if you look back to where I already brought you, I wish I had some help on here. When he said, look back to where you already brought you from, he got us through all the way through that journey, and our mother's wombs without eyes, legs, ears, my mouth, without nothing. So he already know what we're capable of. He already know the potential that we have. We just have to stand on that greatness.
He in Sunday school.
That's right.
Right now.
We got
look,
to stand on that, man.
You can't tell him nothing. He in Sunday school right now, you know. You're going to get these messages in your mind, and I think it's so overpowering for some people, and that's where things go bad, because you get these messages. Because if the devil had the nerve to say that to Jesus, and started quoting scripture. And then he said, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. What?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
That's that man, that's that woman.
Yeah.
That's telling you I'll give you everything if you come be with me. If you come be with me,
right.
I give you the world. I'll buy you roses. I do. These are the things. I wish, man, we got some help on here today, and I'm loving it.
This is why we have to keep Jesus at the center of our lives. We have to
know
the word. Yes. We have to pray.
Yes.
We have to stay in his presence. Remember, and Michael, you said it in Matthew, when Jesus was confronted by the devil, and the devil was trying to offer him like he actually had a leg to stand on. He didn't have that's why he's called the Father of Lies. And so Jesus could withstand him, and we know that we're imperfect creatures, and we know that we're going to have trouble in this world, and we know that we have to capture our thoughts and focus on things on high instead of on this earth. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. The world doesn't give us peace. Don't be troubled or afraid. In Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Wow.
So sorry. I wish that any one of us could have spoken a word to him, because we could have made a difference. We could have preached to him about the glory and the love of Jesus, and hopefully it would have filled his heart and given him a different ending. But for those that are listening to the sounds of our voices, the reason that we can speak in joy, the reason that we speak with such passion and such desire to be in Jesus' company is because we have a relationship with him. It doesn't mean that we don't have trouble. Every one of us on the air right now, if we all talked about what we were dealing with, nobody would have a dry eye, because everybody would be talking about it. Henrietta, I lift you up, honey. I've been seeing your Facebook posts, and I've been praying for you. I hope that whatever is going on in your life will resolve itself, and God will give you peace. I pray for peace for all of us. But there is no such thing in this world that any one of us can be an island. We can't do things solely on our own. We need Jesus, and we need each other.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hey, I don't care what nobody say. It don't matter what nobody say. It's offering time. We going to take your bridge card. We're going to take whatever. Because after that right now, it's offering time, baby.
Henrietta, the floor is yours, Henrietta.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, well, you know what, everyone? I'm just happy to actually be up this morning in a better spirit than I was yesterday. There were so many amazing things going on yesterday in the city of Detroit. Michael and Kimberly and Christy, you guys may remember Trista Billingsley, of the founder and owner of organization From Women to Queens. Well, this young lady has skyrocketed with her organization, which is now a 501c3. She has been doing amazing things in the community. She has trailblazed as a young woman, business owner, political activist. She had a book, a Christmas bike drive yesterday for Women to Queens, and she was able to give away 35 bikes to children for Christmas in the city of Detroit.
Isn't that something?
She just fed over 600 families for Thanksgiving with her annual Thanksgiving dinner for the community. She, I mean, every year the number
she's doing stuff every year.
She's doing stuff like that. We did have her on the Praise Network
a few years ago.
I would love for her to come back and talk about.
She's gotta come back and
because she actually said being on the radio helped her. It was like she said after she was on our show, she had started getting a lot of reach out. Right now,
her
city council just gave her the Spirit of Detroit Award for her work in the community. So she, and like I wanted to mention that to the team, we need to bring her back on like a follow-up of all the people we talked to and have risen just because we were instrumental in getting them out there. So the city, so people who listen to us, because like you said, Michael, and many times before, you never know who's listening. And so she has done an amazing thing. She just connected me with some global connections for we're trying to reach out and get things done on a level where we're moving young men and women who are wanting to come from Africa and come over here and, you know, and do some things over in this country, and as well just connecting from there to here on what to do when it comes to business, when it comes to activism. They want to connect with us on this globe, and so I was able to sit in on that conversation yesterday. Very good conversation, very, very informative, and some really amazing things moving forward coming in 2023. Trista Billingsley, I have to say, you know, in my political analyst of all the people that I've talked to and was able to engage with, this young lady, proof in the pudding, is that when she said she wanted to do something for the community and when she wanted to get herself in position to be able to be a help to her community, she has done that. And I am so very proud of her in that. And matter of fact, I'm just so proud of all of us. We have touched so many lives. And just like Kim said, and I wish that we were able to touch those who haven't been able to encounter our gifts. I wish that we could have. And I thought about that too, Kim, like, God, what would it have been like if one of us or myself, you know, and I thought about the thing, I wish I could have spoken to him if I've known him, or wish if I followed him, or just had somebody check in, because it's, you know, it takes that one voice to turn it around. Any of us could have turned it around had we had the opportunity. And maybe that wasn't in the card for us, but the thought of it, if it was just one person that could have said something to make him think twice. Because the sadness of that is he walked out of the house happy and never came back.
Right.
That by itself is enough to deal with as a wife and a mother.
Yep.
That you kissed your husband goodbye, he was happy. He looked like he was going for a walk, and he went and committed suicide or took his life. Exited this world. So
we have
to be careful, and we have to give flowers when flowers are due.
Yeah.
Even if they're not due, we just need to give them. Because you don't know what's on the balance.
That's why I said that even when, because we did not, nobody, well, most people did not know he was going through anything. And that's why sometimes, even when somebody looks like everything is fine, still have a conversation with them. How are things going?
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? You know, we ask somebody how they're doing and they say fine and then it's over. The conversation's over.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes, somebody did that to me the other day. They said, how are you doing, Mike? I said, I'm doing okay. How are you doing? They said, great. So, you know, they started asking me other questions. questions. It didn't mm-hmm. stop with how are you doing? So
right.
How's your schedule like? Are you busy every day? Do you get it? And I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
they asked a lot of questions. But then afterwards mm-hmm. I realized the questions were not trying to find out any details. They just wanted to see how my day-to-day life.
If you were okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that. And I think we got to do that more now. You know how our mm-hmm. kids, you ask them, you know, how was school today? Fine. That's it. Don't let
mm-hmm.
your kids get away with a one-word answer. If Chaplain asks me, how am I doing? Let's not let it stop with, don't let me get away with just saying, okay, I'm fine.
Right.
Just go a little bit further because
mm-hmm.
people are going to say
dig a little
fine.
Deeper.
Yeah, people are going to say
mm-hmm.
fine, and they know they're
because
not
because that's a natural
fine.
Reaction to a
right.
question.
They know they ain't fine. Go ahead, Chaplain. You were saying something.
I have something that I believe that will help anyone that has negative feelings. A lot of times in our lives, we tend to go backwards, and we realize once we went back that point that it just didn't do nothing for us. But I want us to consider not going backwards, because going back is not just hurting you, it's not just hurting me, but it's hurting everybody that's around us. And if you would, just let me sing a piece of this one song I wrote. It ain't gonna be long. Come be on the radio. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I can't go backwards. I only move forward. 'Cause going back just don't do it for me. I can't go backwards. I only move forward. 'Cause going back is not just hurting me. See, going back is not, we have to look at going back, it's not just hurting us no more, but it's hurting mm-hmm. everything and everybody that surrounds mm-hmm. us. And we need to focus in on that. If you ever get a chance, go back to the show and record just that little snippet. And I assure you, that song will remind you of what it is that you have to do when you are going through. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just looking at the time, and I'm glad I allotted some extra time for the show this morning. We got about 15
mm-hmm.
minutes left. But I am going to move forward and have that therapist that I spoke to, and I'm going to have her on to talk about a few topics. And she also is an evangelist. So when she helps people, she just doesn't go to her textbook or manual that, you know, we're for answers. She goes to the Bible too. And that's what I
mm-hmm.
like about her. And that's why I want her on, because we know it's more than just the textbook when it comes to helping people. We know, and that's, we all know on here on the Sunday Morning Team that to truly help someone, there's a spiritual component to really help somebody to in their life to change and do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a therapist on, and I think a couple of the topics that I wanted her to talk about are depression and suicide. But I also wanted her to talk about relationships. Now, I know a lot of, I've wondered, how come, and we got a couple, ministers here on the program, on the Sunday Morning Team, but Answer this question. Why don't a lot of preachers talk about affairs and relationships, unauthorized relationships, cheating?
Ooh.
Have you noticed? I mean, maybe let me get back in my corner and stop talking. But I don't.
Oh, no, you didn't go in the middle of the ring. Okay. Now. You didn't go in the middle of the ring.
Right.
Now. Don't try to
get
in the corner. Yo, did it, Kimberly? See, y'all ain't saying nothing to him, man.
I know, right? Here we go with 15.
You didn't
go
in the middle of the ring. Now you want to get back in the corner.
And I throw a hand grenade out here in the middle of the room with 15 minutes to go. But I've noticed that over the years that I've listened to a lot of sermons, and I can tell you right now, I don't, maybe one or two in my life, and I'm a preacher's kid, I don't recall pastors having that as a topic. You know,
because most of them are in a part of it. I don't care. Tell them to get mad at me.
I remember Jimmy Carter, President Carter, said one time, somebody asked him, have you cheated? And he said, you know, the Bible said, if you lusted, you have cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that, you know, yes, I've lusted. I remember once, and let me thank God we're coming up with less than 15 minutes on the program, so I won't be talking too much. But I remember one time, years ago, I saw this very attractive young lady. And do you know, I had a conversation with God about this. Don't say nothing, because I'm the only one, okay? Evangelist Christy Laster, and I remember I was so attracted to this person. I was trying to talk to God to try to see if he could approve.
You know what? Yeah, I'm off this line right now. You hear me?
Lord,
how much?
I was trying to talk to God to see, is it okay if I call her, if I talk to this person, if I go out on a date, if, you know, can I? I actually remember thinking in my mind, trying to bargain with God to see if it would be okay, you know? But I do want a therapist to come on and talk about that, because, you know, because let me tell you this, you all can think what you want to think, but I've been around for 60 years, and this is what I've learned in my 60 years from one place or another, that I just looked and saw about the Amy Robach, T.J. Holmes situation at ABC News on Good Morning America. I just saw they are still dating. They are in a relationship now, so they're not hiding anything. But an affair, people don't talk about the costly side of it, money. It costs time. An affair pulls you away from, it takes money out of your bank account. It takes you away from your family, because the time that you should be with your wife and your kids, you're with this other person. It takes away from your creativity, because you're spending time with this other person and you could be working on something for yourself, your future, your career. You know what I'm saying? I don't hear people talk about that much. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't hear people warning other people. You know, I talked earlier about listening to former Mayor Dennis Archer talk about, if you're walking down the street and there's a hole, you know there's a hole up ahead of you, warn the people behind you. Don't let them fall into that hole. Let me tell you what I would tell people now that I've learned some stuff from one way or another over the past 60 years. And I would tell young men right now, don't think it's glamorous or exciting or it's right to try to have as many women as you can possibly get. You know, unfortunately, especially in the black community, there's this thing out here with young men, and it's always been there, that you've got to have as many girlfriends as you can, that you got to have, and even before you're married, and then after you're married, you're supposed to have as many girls. I mean, it never changes. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. There's a thing on the street, and you know that it's the object is to have as many women as you can. But we have to let our sons know that that's very destructive. It's costly and it's destructive, and I don't hear enough people saying that these days. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Let me shut up. It's time to wrap up. That's what I'm saying. I don't hear too many people saying.
I got my foot up. I got my hand up.
Go ahead, Javelin. I don't hear it enough. I don't hear
okay.
talking about.
I know I've been talking a lot, but I need to put some. I need to cut this thing, these things up, so that we can be able to swallow them. So let me cut this up for you. Let me cut it up and make it real quick to you. Right? If you're looking for your keys, when you find your keys, they are still keys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're mm-hmm. looking for your phone, if you're looking for your phone, when you find your phone, it was a phone before while you was looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why so many men cheat is because they get connected with women looking for a relationship instead of what the Bible says. The Bible says that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So that means if I'm looking for a wife, that means that she has to be, I wish I had some help on here, she
Amen.
Has to
you
be what I was looking for before I even
Absolutely.
Got to her.
Got it.
See,
That's
anybody
right.
can destroy your relationship, but they can't do nothing to your marriage. And that's because your marriage is consecrated by God. It's ordained
Absolutely.
By God that a man should leave his mother and father and get him a wife. And the Bible
mm-hmm.
went as further to say that what I, God, joined together. Now, let me cut up together real quick and make it make sense to you. Together means T-O-G-E-T-H-E-R. What I, God, joined to get her, lest no man put it under. So we as men have cheated, women as women, they have cheated because they're looking for relationships instead of marriages. When in fact, that woman was already a wife before you found her, but your presentation has to be
mm-hmm.
so rooted and grounded that you can receive
mm-hmm.
her as a wife and not a girlfriend. I wish I had some help on here, man.
Amen.
I don't hear
Amen.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop treating your wife like she's your girlfriend, and stop treating your girlfriend like she's your wife. And I bet you everything will work out for you.
I'm going to see if I can get that therapist on for next Sunday. I'm going to talk to her this week and see if she can come on because I think we need to delve into that because I just wonder, what is it? What do you get out of having multiple women? You know, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the, you know, we got to ask these questions to some of the people that do this, like, what is
mm-hmm.
it? What's the advantage that you get? I don't see any real, it's unhealthy, number one. You know, there are reasons why it is wrong. There's reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, it's unhealthy. You can literally get sick from multiple partners. That's just one of the things. You know, and
thank
I
you for reminding me.
Yeah, and I listed some others. It's costly in more than not just money. It's costly in your time. It's costly in your creativity. I mean, you know, you could have you meet somebody at work, and that person is taking up all your time, and you miss out on a promotion. You know, all mm-hmm. those things happen, mm-hmm. and they can be tied back to this illegal, illicit relationship that you're in. But like I said, I don't hear too many pastors talking about that these days. I never mm-hmm. hear them delve into that topic. It's one of those topics that they tend to stay away from. But mm-hmm. people do not talk about it enough. There, you know, nope. there are major problems that occur in your life when you have an illicit relationship. But like I said, I was just looking at the thing with Amy Robach and T.J. Holmes, and let me tell you, when Herschel Walker ran, I don't know if you all were paying attention to the sideshow going on. His son was on social media exposing mm-hmm. it all, saying that, you know, my dad, Herschel Walker, has had many girlfriends over the years, and they have gotten abortions, and he has been doing all this stuff. You know.
Wow.
Yes.
I tell you this, as his son, he ought to be ashamed of himself. He ought to be dry ashamed of himself for that.
You know,
he shouldn't have never did. You would never hear Jesus say nothing bad about God. You would never hear.
Well, you know, Herschel Walker lied a lot over the past few months while he was running, but the truth mm-hmm. still came out anyway. And some of the women started coming out too. Hey, look, guys, it's 10:26. Thank you. What a program today.
Yes.
We covered some topics, and I can't wait to push this out and get some feedback from it. Thank you all. Thank you, Sunday Morning Team. Merry Christmas to you. You know, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays.
Christmas is... Yes. Wait. Let me check this out here. Christmas.
It's next week.
It's next Sunday.
And yeah. That's somebody's birthday, too.
That's right. Happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy birthday.
Yes. That is my birthday, yes. Oh, I'll be 53 years old.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
You're a young preacher. You know.
Watch it.
Wow. Okay. But look, Christmas is here. It's really here already. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff mm-hmm. I need to do this week. Man, I need to catch up. But God bless you all. Thank you for being on the show this morning. And enjoy your Christmas week. And I'm looking forward. I'm going to see if I can get that therapist on. That would be an exciting show for Christmas Day. But I might run a rerun because people be off Christmas. So I'll think about it. I may just do a rerun for next Sunday since it's the holiday and Christmas Day.
Absolutely.
I just want to know what day I can host the show. I just want to know what day I could be the host. I want to host one Sunday morning.
Oh, we'll take care of that. We'll do that. All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Have a great day. God bless.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Okay, God
love
bless you.
Love you all, too. All right.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tootle Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, experts in small business support services. Call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Van Tootle Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.